Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yeah. When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
After day off, I'm back. I want to thank people who sent a nice message either through text or on Twitter. I've always, even though it's happened year after year, I've always become a little, every time it happens, a little weirded out by how many people know what my birthday is. Like, how does that happen? Because I don't offer that as information. It's strictly, most likely, a Facebook thing. Like at a point, that information was out there. People become friends, and then they jot it down. So for everyone who did wish me a happy birthday, thank you. No, I did not simply take a day off because it was my birthday. Because who takes a Wednesday off and then comes back on Thursday if that's what you're about? Wouldn't you just take the rest of the week off if you're going to use Wednesday as your jump-off point and it's your birthday? Just don't come back till Monday. So no, there was a thing I had to do. Not involving me. I just had to be there for it. So that's all it was. But we're back. And what have I missed? Not a lot. The Astros didn't score a run in their loss yesterday to some anonymous Pirates pitcher who wasn't good up until the point he got to face the Astros. So that happened. They get shut out. Of course, it's the game after. They do the same to the Pirates. And we talked about it when I was here on Tuesday about how that game would go if the Astros were going to win it. They're either going to win a close ball game or get blown out. And they did. And it just happens to have Lance McCullers out dueling Paul Skeens. And look, Paul Skeens never gets run support. It played out that way. And Lance McCullers was able, and the Astros were able to take advantage of that. Did not carry over to last night's game. So, look, it's one game. They lost, whatever. I do take issue with people who are posting graphics of them still being in first place. It's early June. Haven't the Astros set a standard where being in first place in June shouldn't matter? Isn't that the standard when you win that many divisions in a row, make the playoffs that often? Celebrating being ahead of the Mariners by half a game in early June should not be something that graces your profile. Oh, look at us. We're still in first place. Yeah, that's what we're used to that. Stop it. You make it to an ALCS. You acknowledge that. But posting the graphic that you happen to be ahead of the Mariners on June 4th or now 5th is silly.
Yeah. This once proud franchise used to be.
What have they done?
Up seven games by now.
Yeah. What
they're
what
up
have they
half
done
a
to
game.
The team I love that we're celebrating up on the Mariners by half a game?
Yeah.
It's fine. It's nice. It's better to be in first than not, but it's no need for celebration because the Astros tell you year after year they have bigger goals than to lead the Mariners.
Yeah. When Alabama or Georgia gets their sixth win in a college football season, then it'll go, woo, bowl eligible. You know
exactly.
What? Exactly. You know what? No practice. No
exactly.
Practice on Monday.
Ice cream for everybody. It doesn't happen because they want to be bowl eligible as quick as possible, which means going 6-0. So it's not a big deal. It should not be a big deal for us. But as I said, I guess it's better than being in second place. So we'll see how they do today as they try to win the series against the Pirates. We got an NBA Finals game tonight. And frankly, if you're not that interested in the Thunder versus Pacers for whatever reason, it really just marks – it's another date on the calendar as we get closer and closer to transaction season. And that was a big topic because the Knicks – and this is not a player transaction. We'll get into that because there has been some reporting from Phoenix that's refuting the Houston side of the reporting regarding the Suns' interest in trading Kevin Durant to anyone, even specifically the Rockets, but to anyone, because the Suns just hired a coach They have a new GM. So the reporting suggests that them being desperate to get something done is flawed. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But as far as the Rockets and their coach, Ime Udoka, is someone the Knicks are interested in after firing Tom Thibodeau. We talked about that because we had Tom Thibodeau very high in our playoff scapegoat rankings. I thought he might get fired. Sean and I talked about it and said he probably shouldn't get fired. And the Knicks said, shut up, we're going to fire him. Like minutes, almost how long after the show did they fire him? It was the same day, same afternoon, right?
Yeah, maybe within an hour.
Yeah. We were like, yeah, it's dumb to do it. Leon Rose is like, no, you're dumb. We're firing Tom Thibodeau. So
you see this, he didn't play Shaman until game yeah. four.
Why is DeLon Wright only getting minutes deep into the playoffs? He would have been a help. So that happened. So because that happened, the Knicks are looking for a head coach and not some assistant like the Suns. The Suns went through the process of interviewing multiple assistants across the league, and they wound up with a guy named Ott to lead their team. And he so happened to be on the Cleveland Cavaliers staff, which isn't surprising if you know about the businesses that the Cleveland Cavaliers owner has outside of basketball and the one that Matt Ishbia runs. People are like, well, he's either going to hire a Michigan State guy or someone who was an employee of the Cavs just to stick it to the Cavs owner because they have a longstanding insurance rivalry that goes back years now, the back and forth between those two, Matt Ishbia and the Cavs owner. So they went the assistant route. The Knicks are looking for an established head coach. The Knicks are very much like a big-name college football program who may have fallen to hard times or hasn't reached the level that they think they can. Maybe they think they're a sleeping giant, so they have to go make the big splash hire. And the Knicks are interested in Ime Udoka. The Rockets are, once again, much like when the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau, despite our advice, the Rockets are like, we don't care what you want. You can't talk to him. And apparently, Ime has no interest in talking to the Knicks. At least that was the initial news we heard. But the Rockets aren't going to give them the opportunity to woo him. The Rockets and Ime are committed to the project that they have here, trying to build a franchise that can be a long-term winner. So at the moment, Ime Udoka is not available to talk to the Knicks. He doesn't want it. The Rockets won't allow it, so he can breathe easy there, even if it was less than a 24-hour news cycle regarding the Knicks' interest. They also are interested in Jason Kidd. We have not heard anything about the Mavericks saying, nah, you know what? You can't talk to Jason either. They're like, hey, you want to take this off our hands? You want to give us a pick for it? We may be interested in that discussion. We can go find ourselves another guy who's at the level of Jason Kidd. Michael Malone's available, a guy some people think won't be the Knicks head coach for reasons. I just saw a lot of that early. Don't think Michael Malone's getting that job. Jay Wright was another name mentioned, and Seth Davis, who does college basketball for CBS Sports, says after his discussions with Jay Wright just over the course of the last year or so, now that Jay Wright is firmly entrenched in the broadcast, on that broadcast team as far as their studio shows, after discussions with Jay Wright, not that he's asked him specifically about the Knicks job, he's saying, I got a better chance of being the head coach of the Knicks than Jay Wright does. That's how uninterested Jay Wright is, apparently, in an NBA job. And if I'm Jay Wright, I'm telling Seth Davis, don't speak for me, because maybe I can convince CBS to give me more money to stay. Hey, who voted you my representative? Don't talk for me. You keep that. Even if that's true, don't put it out there. It doesn't help any negotiations I want to have in the future. That's what Bill Cowher's been doing to CBS for years. Bill Cowher's been telling people, oh, if the NFL comes calling. Bill Cowher's been on that thing for 20-plus years.
Gruden had that playbook down when he was doing Monday Night Football.
Yeah, there's always the threat that I could leave. So make me happy, whether it be monetarily or whatever perks I might want. Maybe I want to get in for the game the day of, whatever it takes.
Yeah, maybe I don't do it as often until conference play starts. You know, I don't want to be doing all these non-conference Big East games.
Hey, Seth, don't speak for me. That would be me if I'm Jay Wright. I don't need that from you. I don't need you speculating on what I may or may not want. That's all. I think the Rockets are fine. Their coach isn't going anywhere. The Knicks will have to find another coach. But it is, as I said, transaction season. So the other thing that came up as far as the Rockets are concerned is we talked about it on Tuesday was the Suns' apparent interest, desperate interest in getting a Kevin Durant deal done. Now, that interest remains. They want to trade Kevin Durant mostly because Kevin Durant would like to go, considering how they put him out on the open market right around the trade deadline in their pursuit of Jimmy Butler. But the thought that the Suns are doing all this calling is being refuted by John Gambadaro. I believe that's his name, and let me get that right. He is a Phoenix Suns insider. Gambadaro. He does a radio show in Phoenix. If you're looking for someone to get your Phoenix Suns news from, that's the guy. Gambo987, that's his name, at least his Twitter handle. He refuted the Kelly Eco report that suggested that the Suns were desperate. They're making trades. They didn't have decision makers during the time you're saying they should have made trades, according to John Gambadaro. So, no, this can't be true. In fact, he thought it was laughable at how untruthful it is. So we've got source wars going on, and that's the time. It's the time for this as we get closer and closer to the offseason, because at most, maybe there are three or four fan bases that care about this series. You got Pacers, clearly their fans, the Thunder fans, and people who hate the Knicks, which could be multiple fan bases, Pacers, Thunder, and anyone who hates the Pacers or the Thunder, which I don't think there's a lot of. Maybe the Knicks fans, because they just got eliminated, and the Pacers, and they have a longstanding rivalry. Not sure who the Thunder's rivals are, to be honest with you. So I think, for the most part, is I'm just here to watch basketball, and maybe if Shea does something early in the first quarter, it might piss people off because of foul baiting, and then they'll switch to the Pacers side. But the Pacers aren't a team that's getting people to root for the underdog, I think. I don't think that's the way this is playing out, because the Thunder aren't objectionable to most people. So I think we got a series where people are like, hey, the basketball's cool, but let's wrap this up because my team's got the draft and trades to make. The basketball's getting in the way of all the fun, I think, for some people.
Yeah. Well, you forgot another interested party, the Paul George fan club.
Well,
or Paul George. Paul George podcast.
Yeah, the playoff club. P, in this case, podcast P. There will be some. There are going to be people who are going to want to hear from him, if only to make fun of him because of how much he has played a part in these finals, even though he's never been in one.
Yeah,
because of all the trades that took place, he's involved in some. But even the assets acquired in his trades led to other things as well.
Like, he's pretty directly involved with both teams' best players.
Correct.
The team's acquiring their best. He was traded for Shea and a million draft picks. That's how Shea ended up on the Thunder.
That's how Jalen Williams ended up there too.
Yes,
I believe.
Yes, yeah. One of those picks was also Jalen Williams. And then he was traded from Indiana to Oklahoma City for Sabonis, and then Sabonis was traded for Haliburton.
Yeah, it all leads back to Paul George. The 6 degrees of Paul George, and in some cases less than that. And We will find out how it all plays out. I think we all feel like the Thunder will win this series, but hey, we'll watch. We'll see if the Pacers can cobble together a giant upset. We know Rick Carlisle has that in him. He did it now about 15 years ago with his Mavericks and LeBron. There is no LeBron-like figure on the other side, because as much as Shea is accused of his foul baiting, that year, LeBron joined the Heat in that first year, along with the celebration before the series. There's a lot of people hoping and praying that the Heat lost. And LeBron's famous quote was something along the lines of, oh, no matter what happens, I'm going to be just fine. This was right after the series, game six. I don't know about you guys and all you're focusing on me. Maybe you're the ones with the problem, not me.
I think it was everyone who was hating on me this year is going to wake up and have the same life they did
pretty
today.
Much. I'm going to be fine, still going to be LeBron James, and you guys still got the same life no matter how much you hated on me. It's the way famous people with a lot of money tend to try to get back at you. Look, guys, well, you're going to wake up in the morning still working that job you're working. But if you want to be gratified by my loss, cool. But I'm still LeBron James. Of course, he went on to have great success in Miami and other places as well. All right, Julian, you want to talk Knicks and Ime? We'll get to that. We'll get to anyone who wants to get in, 713-780-3776. So we got the finals tonight. We've got Astros as well. and Sean's team involved in a game that may decide a title. Texas women's softball, one win away from winning a national title. Congratulations to the Lady Longhorns if they get it done. Are they just the Longhorns? Do they get the Lady Longhorns tag?
They're normally just called the Longhorns. I'm sure like some announcer will call them the Lady Longhorns.
Like the Lady Vols are a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some other ones as well, but for the most part, everyone just sticks with their nickname. All right, Julian, we'll get to you when we come back. But first, before we talk to Julian, we may need to talk about Aqueduct. In fact, we will talk about Aqueduct because why wouldn't we? It's a place you go to when you need great plumbing. Look, you don't know what you're doing. Let's be honest. When something happens in your home, whether it be a leak or something bigger, maybe a pipe burst, you don't know how to fix it. So go to the people who can fix it, and those are the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You can check out their website, and it's aqueductplumbingcompany.com, and just take a look at that service menu because it tells you all the things they provide, from fixtures that need to be looked at to water heaters, whether it be a rerouting or gas piping is all there for you. And if you want to just call them, you can. It's 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. And get yourself a free quote. Like I said, you don't know what you're doing, but you don't want to be charged just to find out what the problem is. And Aqueduct Plumbing Company won't do that. They'll get you that free price quote. They'll give you an estimate of what the work is and how much it'll cost. And then you can make your decision. And I'm telling you, the decision is go with them. They have great contractors who know what they're doing. They're a local company. Billy Brown's is in a Clear Lake area, but, you know, he'll send people around the city to get work done for you. So big jobs, small jobs is all there for you. Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Julian here. We brought up the Knicks' interest in Ime and the Rockets not giving a damn about the Knicks' interest and saying, nah, he's not going to be available for you to speak to. So Julian's calling in about that. What's up, Julian?
What it is, Doc Turkey. I liken it to Gilbert, our big dog, the man, the myth, the legend, Gilbert and Wendy. John knows Gilbert is infatuated with Wendy. John knows that Gilbert would like to see Wendy hang out with Wendy. But John also doesn't give a damn. Just like the Rockets don't give a damn about the Knicks saying they're interested in Ime. It's a non-story, and I think it's just a filler because there's nothing to talk about until today, or tonight, rather. Y'all have a good one.
It's a non-story because nothing's going to come of it, but it is interesting to know that the Knicks are interested in sitting head coaches and not going the what you think is a normal route and going with an assistant where you don't have these issues where you need to get, well, this type of permission because I believe franchises do have to give you permission before you can talk to an assistant, but generally it's just understood. It's a chance for a promotion. We won't get in the way of that. It's just fostering goodwill in this case. The Rockets, and rightfully so, saying, no, we love our guy. But if Ime had said he wanted to talk to the Knicks, then that's a different conversation. The Rockets wouldn't have to allow it, but then concerns would pop up about Ime's willingness to see this through. But he doesn't want to talk to him. The Rockets don't want him to talk to him, so it won't happen. We'll see how the Knicks move in that regard. I mentioned earlier that the Suns were alleged, at least the reporting was by Kelly Eco, the Suns were lowering their asking price. It's something we talked about on Monday. And I mentioned John Gabadoro, the Phoenix insider, saying that wasn't true. So untrue is laughable. He said the Suns haven't talked to the Rockets since February. That's how long it's been since they've actually had any real conversation. So now all that being said, a lot of reports are saying four or five teams are interested. These are the teams they're going to go after. Kevin Durant and the Rockets happen to be among them, but maybe the Suns aren't as far along in these discussions as has been reported because, I mean, logically it makes some sense unless Ishbia is doing it on his own, which is possible.
Yeah, because wasn't there reporting where he was like, I'm sick of sitting on the side. Like, he was like, I did the thing where you hire experienced basketball people to make basketball decisions, and it didn't work. I'm ready to step in, is more or less what he said.
He cracked his knuckles and said, time to go.
And he was like, all right.
So it's that.
Surely someone here has to have Rafael Stone's phone number,
so
right?
So not having a GM and not having a coach could not obstruct those conversations from happening. It's just the Phoenix side of the story. And if you're Phoenix, you probably don't want it out there that you're already lowering your asking price before the season is already over.
That's probably the like actual sticking point they have, is that in the Kelly Eco reporting, it was that every day the Durant price drops.
Yeah, they keep calling and the price drops. It's not great for their negotiation. Their negotiations, because they're going to pit teams against each other and see who's most desperate for Kevin Durant and go get the picks. If they're already allowing the Rockets to talk them down, it doesn't help their cause. So I get why they would put that out there to let people know, hey, we ain't punks. We haven't even begun to be punks yet. Don't worry about it. I mean, maybe by June 25th, when the draft rolls around, we might be very willing to drop our asking price. But it ain't that time yet. Game one hasn't even begun, so we don't need that out there. So they got, I don't say a sympathetic reporter or someone they like, but someone whose word they know means something around NBA circles. So they got that out there. So we'll see where we are in the next couple weeks, because Shams reported that that particular trade, at least the talk surrounding it, will pick up in the next couple weeks now that guys have been hired for the Suns. So we do know the Rockets are in it. We just don't know at what level and what it might cost.
Yeah, Matt Ishbia, this was in a letter released after after they hired Ott, their head coach, not Jaden Ott. I don't know what this guy's name is.
It might be Jordan Ott.
Jordan Ott, sure. He said, quote, "I'm aware that this approach basically is of taking more of a hands-on approach. It's different from most other NBA franchises. I'm not the conventional NBA owner, and I don't want to be. I've tried running the typical NBA owner playbook, hiring the experts, signing the checks, getting out of the way, and none of us were happy with the outcome. Making the playoffs 2 out of 3 years and only winning one playoffs is not good enough for this franchise and this community." Being like, I'm tired of just getting out of the way. Time for Matt Ishbia.
A lot of people think you've been too in the way.
Ah, no.
Matt, you've done too much, and you're actually hurting the cause.
That was all James Jones.
You're pushing for getting Bradley Beal in here. Seems like maybe you're not out of the way enough, because now you're stuck with a guy who you couldn't convince. Like, normally, I'm sure in his own world of business, he could get a guy, he could make it uncomfortable for an employee, and the employee would eventually, hey, I'm leaving. I don't want to be here. Bradley Beal's the one employee goes, nah, I like it here. I get to play basketball. I like hot weather. I'm close to Los Angeles.
Yeah, or can least, golf every day.
At least closer than I was when I was in Washington. So it's fun. Like golf, my family loves the area. I'm good here. Matt Ishbia's, man, that's not what I needed from you. I needed you to willingly accept the trade, some backwater, so I can get Jimmy Butler here. Bradley Beal's like, that's why I have a no trade clause, and that's why the Suns are stuck. As much as they have to get rid of Durant, until they convince Bradley Beal to go and someone to take him on, I don't have much hope in the Suns' future.
No. Also, the fact that they don't have their own first-round pick until 2031.
Yeah, they've made a lot of mistakes.
That's also bad.
Lots and lots of mistakes for them.
Devin Booker will be 35 in 2031.
Well, yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time to not have control of your own picks, really. So
they will have picks, though.
They will. All,
yeah. They'll be in, like, the 20s.
Yeah, they have to have picks, just how the Stepien rule works in the NBA, to prevent owners like Ishbia from trading all their picks away. So you can't – what's the rule? You have to have – you can't trade two picks. You can't trade a pick in the same – in consecutive years, unless you
do
own
one
someone
on
else's
draft
pick.
Night.
Yeah.
But that's not Ishbia that did that. That was the basketball experts.
That's Robert Sarver. And others.
No, the basketball.
Oh, you mean the guys
that
he hired.
Screwed up the Suns since Matt Ishbia's took.
Oh, you mean the guys he hired and he didn't. He wasn't smart enough to step in, though.
Sure, they made the finals and then got sold and then immediately made a bunch of moves and got ran into a ditch.
Yeah, James Jones was there before.
Yeah, Matt Ishbia.
So the moves
he went that, crazy. What can I say?
And lost his mind. The moves James Jones made put the Suns in a spot where they're in the finals and hell were up 2-0 before Giannis took over. When Ishbia got in, he had to make his presence known. And so
by hiring experts,
yeah,
and getting out of the
trading
way.
For Kevin Durant, trading for Bradley Beal, and then he got
no more.
But he's got to get back in the way now. Okay,
yeah,
sure.
That was him out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, ripping up a successful team who was two wins away from an NBA championship. But when Kevin Durant came calling, he said to himself, that's the move I got to make, and it's backfired ever since. Now he's got to find a way to get rid of him. And I'm sure once the bidding war begins, they'll get a good price, but not the price they gave up to get him initially. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We'll have some more Rockets to get into. So I wasn't here for it. We talked about D'Amico's quotes when I left. Did Joe play the sound of D'Amico pushing back on questions about C.J. Stroud?
I don't think we played it.
You might have played it on Paul's
Yeah,
show?
I think Paul played it.
Okay, so it's fresh for this time slot. We'll get to it when we come back. Ime Udoka, sick of the questions. Ime Udoka, he may be sick of questions too. But D'Amico Ryans is sick of the questions regarding C.J. Stroud. And he particularly got a little, I won't say confrontational. He just didn't like it when the question about a potential procedure on C.J. Stroud's shoulder, when that question was asked, he really was done with it. So we'll hear from him when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Today is the last day of Texas OTAs. Next week, it'll be mandatory mini camps, I believe, for 2 days, the 10th and 11th, and then it's on to training camp. The issue right now, if you want to call it that, the Texans certainly aren't calling it that, is the lack of evidence that C.J. Stroud can still throw football. Is that a dramatic way to put it? Sure, it is. I'm aware of that. But at the moment, they won't allow him to throw a football, at least in team functions. Maybe at home, the shoulder's just okay, and he can fire it off to whoever's at home catching footballs for him. Hopefully it's not someone that Tyreek would invite to his home to run drills, if we remember that story. Whoever it might be, he may be able to throw a football, but the Texans won't allow it on their practice field. And so the questions are being asked, and D'Amico Ryans is a bit tired of them because he believes that his initial statements on them should be enough. I think he knows that the questions are coming. He would just like to tell the world there are no new answers about it. And here is D'Amico Ryans after I think it was Tuesday's practice. Here's D'Amico Ryans.
First off, I know everybody's going to ask. First, CJ not throwing again. There's no concerns with CJ. It's just general soreness. We're taking extra precaution with him, but he'll be good to go. No concerns on my end there. For CJ, it'll be, like I said, he has general soreness, and we're just taking extra precaution with him. When he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
Do you have any work on his shoulder in the offseason?
That's it for CJ, guys. On the questions, that's it. What I said, that's it for him. Like, it's general soreness, and we're taking extra precaution with him. We're not going to rush him into anything. He'll be fine. When the moment is for him to be ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
So the reporter got to it, the proper question, after several days of watching him not throw the football. Did a procedure happen? And that's not one D'Amico's looking to answer, which, if we are in the business of reckless speculation, which we are, if you can't say no, maybe because you don't want to be seen as a liar on that particular topic, then was there a cleanup? Not something major, but was there something done for a guy who's had shoulder issues in the past? It's a reasonable question to ask, and he's well within his right not to answer it, but it's the line that the Texans are using. Nick Caley, when asked about it earlier in the offseason program, said no worries about it, no worries. D'Amico, same, no worries. And they may be right. There are no worries.
Yeah, when the time is right now, or whatever he said, when the time comes, he'll be ready.
Yes.
Now, which I don't know what that means.
Because he's not going to give a date.
He'll be ready when he's ready.
We talked about on Tuesday. I imagine when the time is right is week one, maybe, or maybe when the time is right is when training camp opens up. Who knows? But right now the time is not right, so the questions will persist. If CJ's out there today and he's not throwing the football, maybe you ask someone who isn't D'Amico Ryans the question again and see if you get a different answer. Maybe someone slipped up. Maybe someone didn't get the memo that we only answer it this way. And we'll see today if those questions persist if he's not out there throwing the football. But it's a story slightly. It becomes a major story as we continue on in the offseason and he's still not throwing the football. But the Texans can approach it this way and be okay because they have time on their side. Until they don't. Because, hey, let's just get through this week. If we still got to hold him out, let's get through next week. And then we got all the time to say, hey, when the time is right, he'll be ready to
go. Or at least people will stop asking us.
Well, because they won't have the availability.
Yeah.
So stop asking.
That's really all it is.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, OTAs are open. Not every practice in the offseason is open to media. So I'm not sure if mandatory minicamps are. They generally are. Because I remember these are the times when if guy doesn't show up, then it becomes, oh, these aren't voluntary anymore. So likely mandatory minicamp will be open to the media. So they still will have to answer questions. We'll just see if the question they have to answer is one about their quarterback. Because it's all easy when people are talking about the Lassiter, Bullock, and how well the draft went and what's up for year two. This one's a little bit more touchy to dance around. And they're dancing around it fine right now.
Yeah. I think you kind of hit it on the head when it's like, this is a story just because it is a story. Like, you know, it's just, hey, your starting quarterback isn't throwing. If that's not noteworthy, then literally nothing about this is noteworthy, also be true.
And maybe none of it is noteworthy because it is an OTA in early June. Yeah. But the one thing that could be newsworthy is the fact that your quarterback isn't throwing. And also, you're not really giving an answer as to why other than general soreness. General soreness suggests he overworked his arm between the last time we saw him and now. Yeah. And that's why he can't throw football anymore. At least you don't want him to throw football right now. He may very well could, but you just don't want him to. But I think the ambiguity of it all, general soreness, no one knows what that actually means.
Yeah, and then obviously doing it in this city less than a week. Actually, this started like the next day after the Astros shrouded in mystery and then, oh, wait, never mind. Jordan Hale versus hand is broken. 60% healed, though.
Yeah, and that comes after general inflammation or discomfort.
General soreness might become the Texans'
way of telling you something's really wrong.
Because, like, general soreness.
I'm generally sore.
Like, people wake up generally sore.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to do anything to be sore.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't say a body part. It's just general. In general, he's sore.
Yeah, what we've gotten is Aaron Wilson is telling us it's a tight shoulder muscle. That's what he reported last week or maybe earlier this week.
Get that Theragun, get it working on that shoulder, throw some passes.
Yeah.
Flat-footed in voluntary minicamp. All right.
If you want to take comfort from it, he did do something athletic when he shot a basketball. We saw that. And he did not seem bothered. So if you want to take some comfort from, we did see him use that shoulder in a different way and not have an issue. So maybe D'Amico's right to simply, now you know what I'm not going to say is right. He's fine saying it's general soreness, but it'd be much easier for him to say, this is what happened, this is why he's not throwing, and we can move on. What competitive disadvantage would you be at by telling everyone what's going on? Instead, now you got to answer the questions over and over again and then pretend like you saying no more questions about CJ is going to stop people from asking the questions.
No, but he said no more questions. He said that's it for CJ.
Okay. For today, D'Amico.
But he said that's it.
I know what he said.
He said, stop it.
I know what he said.
Stop.
But as much as this town isn't a very aggressive one when it comes to questions of the coaches, that's not going to dissuade people from asking the question.
Quit it. Quit that. Quit it.
Enough. I've given you enough.
Cody Stutes, stop.
Well, that wasn't Cody who we heard, but someone did ask the question. I will see if someone's brave enough to do it today. If he's not throwing.
Paul said it was Will Kunkel. But
well, Will's a hustler.
Sure.
He ain't gonna be bothered by D'Amico saying that's enough. He'll just ask the question again.
No, but he said stop. But this is, I will say, I guess at least more interesting to me than people writing down the first offensive line grouping.
Yeah.
Like, this is at least, like, I don't know, interesting. We're talking about a player that will definitely matter for the Texans this season, where there's a chance that half the guys that were on the first offensive line group just actually are backups.
Sure.
And it's just because it's day one of voluntary minicamp that they were just like, all right, this group, sure, let's try this.
I'm actually more interested in the Texans handling and their discomfort talking about it than I am the general discomfort of of his maybe shoulder. That doesn't matter until he actually has to play a game. How they dance around it until he's available to throw a football is far more interesting to me. And we'll see what happens today if it's necessary. All right, Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30 because he's got stuff to do tomorrow, so he can't join us tomorrow. I haven't heard from Raheel yet, which is kind of how it always goes. So we'll see if Raheel will join us today as well. He may have to do some more CityCast recording, and sometimes that conflicts with what he does with us. Raheel Ramzali, host of CityCast. Michael Carroll, the co-host of Comicast with his co-host, Jong Lee. All right, we'll get to that at 11:30. Michael, definitely. Raheel, we'll see. In the second hour of the show, we got one more segment to go. Before we get to that second hour, we will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Sean, have you seen the trend of people testing their dogs? Like, they'll put food in front of them, and then they'll have their friends break in like they're attacking them and see what the dogs do?
Yes, I've seen those videos.
And in all cases, the dogs who continue eating are right. Like, I've never understood some of the, let's test their dog to see what they're like. They're domesticated animals. If your golden retriever is not stopping anyone from hurting you. So, you know what? I'm in favor of the dogs who continue to just go on and eat their food. Because unless you train them to be a guard dog, what you want the dog to do?
Yeah. Like, you can't give your dog the Starbucks
pup cup,
and then also expect it to be a vicious,
yeah,
vicious.
You've turned that
dog.
That dog is soft.
Yeah,
sorry. That dog is. It's not like that dog that's also going viral, who's dominating his entire pack by just putting his paw on their throat, and they all bend to him. It's not that dog.
That one's never had a pup cup.
That dog has never been given a pup cup. You give your dog a pup cup, or artisan dog food. Don't expect a dog to defend you when fake attackers break into your home.
Also, we are discounting the fact that maybe the dog is like, well, I know that person was just here last week.
Yeah, or the dog can smell.
they just watched 7 hours of commercial-free football last Sunday here, so I know he's not actually getting attacked.
Yeah, I smelled you before. You smell like a friend.
You have to do is get actual strangers. Go on Craigslist. Like, hey, can you beat me up so I can test my dog?
Well, be clear, fake beat me up. Don't actually beat me up.
Oh, yeah.
Because people will do that. They'll allow you to pay them to do that, too. In fact, that's how some people make their living.
Yeah. Note, I will have to record this.
Yes. By the way, don't actually beat me up, because there is a recording of it. And we'll see how my Dachshund, my wiener dog, responds.
That's also funny, is that people who do it, it's always like the smallest, fluffiest dog.
Yeah. Well, that dog doesn't know anything about defending you.
Notice the ones that have, German shepherds. They're not. They don't. They know not to let's see what happens.
Yeah, the dog that's been bred to do things to people who attack their family. Yeah, yeah. Don't have the lab be the test case.
Or because the accomplices are like, I'm not beating up you. Your dog. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
What if your dog does defend you?
You mean your cane corso has to make a decision? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. It just popped up on my screen. It was like, I'm always with the dog. Keep eating, bro. Keep eating. So there that is. All right. I did want to get to one thing before we go to break here, as it disappeared. The Oilers and the Panthers played last night in a really good game. I was talking to our intern out there about it, but the Panthers go down in Game 1 Stanley Cup Finals, a rematch of what happened last year in that game, or in that series. But this time, the Oilers win. Last year, they were down 3-0, fought back to 3-3, and then lost on Florida's ice in a 4-3. The series went 4-3. Panthers won their first title. Edmonton representing Canada. And the drought that Canada's trying to end. Since 93, Canada hasn't won a Stanley Cup. One of the famous Canadians who led Canada, or at least the Canadian team, the Stanley Cup, and particularly the Oilers, was Wayne Gretzky. In fact, he was on the team that last lost to a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. He was with that Kings team that lost to the Canadians in 93. But Wayne Gretzky's on the broadcast. Hey, hockey's just like all the other sports. The famous dudes who are great get those jobs. And Wayne Gretzky was introduced to someone that even people here didn't know, because we had Chapel Rome is her name. She's a pop star. Sam, who's in her 20s, had no idea who she was. Did you know who she was? I think you did, maybe.
I had heard of her, like, just heard that she was a big deal. But I also thought it was pronounced Chappelle.
So. Yeah, we were trying to figure out how to pronounce it. I think I knew it was Chapel Rome, but we weren't exactly sure.
Feels like it should be Chappelle.
Yeah, it's spelled like Chappelle, except for the E. There's no E at the end of it, just like Dave Chappelle's name. But famous pop star, so on and so forth. And apparently the Oilers play her music in the locker room, so it's a thing they're doing. And Paul Bissonnette, who is a former player, had to explain to Wayne Gretzky. So here's Wayne Gretzky being introduced to Chapel Rome.
One of the fans had Dreisaitl's head superimposed on the Pink Pony Club. I don't know how the song came to be. It's kind of like Jobu, where it's maybe...
Oh, is that right?
Kind of a secret inside the locker room. Yeah. I don't know how the whole thing sparked and began, but they seem to be rallying around it and enjoying it.
But no one's giving details.
Nobody yet. That's why I was trying to ask a few questions about it.
Pink Pony, is that a band or is that a song?
It's a woman. She sings a song, Pink Pony Club, and it's famous. It's on the radio.
American?
I think it's an American girl, but all of a sudden it popped off. I believe she won a few Grammys, and now they're rocking it in the locker room. So I'm
Pink
curious.
Pony.
Pink Pony. It's the new generation, Wayne.
Yeah, I gotta get that on my ringtone.
The great one. Sometimes you're out of your depth, and he had to... It just comes with age, I guess. We're not supposed to know everything that's going on. He's not supposed to know who Chaperone is.
Yeah, it's fine if Wayne Gretzky doesn't know
it's
who
fine.
Chaperone.
Yeah, him having that explained to him on the broadcast is fine.
Him going, I'll have to make it my ringtone, that's a little bit of the, like, that's how I know you're old and out of touch. When's the last time you've heard someone have a real song made into their ringtone?
I will say I was in a doctor's office yesterday, not for myself, but I was in a doctor's office waiting in the waiting room, and there was a ringtone that was played. It was a person in their 70s. So someone put it on their phone, but to your point, it was not from someone in their who would have known what the song was. It just someone younger put that ringtone on someone older's phone. It was and of course, it wasn't on silent in the doctor's office, speaks to the age of the person. But yeah. Normally, just give me a notification sound. You know what I love? I love the Instagram DM sound. I love that sound. It's one of my favorite sounds as far as phone notifications. What I don't want is Pink Pony Club being played when I get a DM. So, Wayne Gretzky, whether it be one of your kids, I don't know if he's still married to Janet Jones, maybe now Janet Gretzky, whoever it might be, don't put Pink Pony Club as your ringtone. Just stick with the chime. Stick with an alarm, whatever it might be. Whatever fits, bro. Maybe something Canadian that whatever. I don't know, but not Pink Pony Club.
That is funny that he was like, Canadian?
Canadian girl. It is funny that was his initial response. That a Canadian girl who I can respect and applaud? No, Wayne.
I don't know.
No, Wayne. She's not from Canada. But she's from Missouri. Midwest girl. Don't worry about it. Although, maybe not Midwest sensibilities at this point, if you've ever seen Chapel Rome. All right, so that, by the way, good game. Very good game. Win is overtime. Dreisaitl scored two, scored the first one, and scored the winner as the Oilers up 1-0 as they try, as I said, to end that drought. It's not since 1993 has a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. They won all the international stuff. They beat us in Four Nations. They beat us in the Olympics.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, Dale. I agree. It does not matter.
30 straight years Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. The Panthers have won it. The Lightning have won it several times.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Carolina Hurricanes have won it. All those Southeastern teams have won it, and Canada still trying to get there. It's first time in over 30 years.
Yeah.
They have a 1-0 lead.
It's our league now, Canada.
Yeah, wait till Houston gets a team. You'll never win one again.
Mm-mm.
So I don't know if it'll happen, but we could have two Texas teams. We already have two Florida teams. We've got
like three California teams.
San Jose, Anaheim, LA. That's three there. It's our time now, Canada. Yeah, they're that 1800s to 1990 something, whatever. Yeah, Vegas and another, not West Coast, but West enough.
Yeah.
It's a different world. And we run it. America. Particularly the southern and
USA.
Western parts of America.
USA.
Yeah.
Take that, Wayne Gretzky.
Exactly. I know you were the reason why hockey's very popular on the West Coast now, because of your time in LA, but that time is over. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah. Is there a good American on any of these teams?
Matthew Tkachuk's pretty good.
It's Matthew Tkachuk's league now.
Which team does he play for?
Florida.
There it is. Sean, taking context clues. Got it right. All right, we'll go to break with that. Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. He was in our control room earlier, and he brought up the thing he brought up, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Eat my friendship or?
Taste my friendship.
Taste my friendship. We'll see if Michael has another banger to bring to us this time around, as he'll give you what you can and should watch, and maybe some things you shouldn't watch, because there is a lot of bad TV and a lot of bad movies, but there also is some good stuff. So we'll hear from Michael Carroll at 11:30. We'll get to hour two when we...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company's softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, winning isn't everything. Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.